Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show for Saturday, December 12th. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as I do every second Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Central Time. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive, live, internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I have had 10 careers. My first career after arriving in the United States from Jamaica was as a fashion model. Then I was a singer on the MCA label, corporate consultant for Accenture, and today I am a professional speaker, trainer, author of 5 books and 3 blogs, certified professional coach, and radio show host. Let's set the tone for today's show. Alan Watts said, "The real secret to life is to be completely engaged with what you are doing in the here and now, and instead of calling it work, realize it's play." Today's show is brought to you by JAD Communications International. They specialize in personal development, coaching, and training. JAD Communications focuses on improving communications, managing people and expectations, increasing interpersonal skills, promoting respectful communications, and conflict resolution. Visit them online at www.jadcommunications.com and use the contact page to request more information. And by the way, today's show was pre-recorded. Our show today is titled, "Can You Be Nice and Get Ahead at Work?" Here's the thing. Is it better to ask for forgiveness than permission? Dr. Lois Frankel discusses this along with the usually mistaken belief that others know more than you do. Author of Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office, she shares the process of defining your brand, avoiding politics, limiting possibilities, and more on the show. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Our guest this month, Dr. Lois P. Frankel, president of Corporate Coaching International, is a best-selling author, executive coach, and an internationally recognized expert in the field of leadership development for women. She has appeared on Larry King Live, The Tavis Smiley Show, The Today Show, CNBC, and PBS to discuss her New York Times best-selling books, Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. Second book was Nice Girls Don't Get Rich, and Nice Girls Just Don't Get It. Her other books include See Jane Lead and Stop Sabotaging Your Career. Alex Trebek even asked the question on Jeopardy. This is the prime piece of business real estate that nice girls don't get. I met Dr. Frankel when she was in Chicago speaking at an event, a breakfast event, where 700 women showed up. And frankly, the first time I heard the title of the book, it was a little off-putting, and I wondered, what? Why would you name it that? Why don't nice girls get the corner office? But I can tell you, listeners, that this is the right title for the book. Welcome, Lois.
Thank you, Yvonne. I'm delighted to be with you.
Why did you call it Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office?
Well, actually, I have to be honest with you. My working title for the book was Quit Being a Girl, because I felt as if that really explained what I was trying to say, is that, you know, a lot of times we act like girls, not like women. And if you act like a girl, you're not going to achieve your adult goals. Well, when Warner Books got hold of it, they decided a better title would be Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. And I was concerned for the same reason that you said when you first saw the title. I didn't want people to think I was saying you can't be nice and achieve your goals, because you've read the book and you know I'm not saying that at all. I believe you have to be nice.
Yeah.
But when you put that together, nice girl, that's like what we're taught in childhood, to be a nice girl,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And in childhood, you know, nice girls, they smile, they're not supposed to get angry, they're not supposed to be too loud, they're not supposed to be too competitive. So really, that's the message we're trying to get across, that you can't be that nice little girl you were taught to be in childhood and expect to achieve your adult goals.
Absolutely. I completely agree, and that came across during your talk. So what I did was, I picked 4 of the mistakes
And we'll talk about those four mistakes. The first mistake I selected for us to talk about is mistake number 9, which is avoiding office politics, because women seem to think that's a bad thing. And as you and I both know, it's a good thing. So what would you say to that mistake?
Well, I think women see office politics, or they think office politics is something subversive. I think they think it's kind of dirty and slimy and a little smarmy. And so we really think that's not something I want to be involved in. But what we have to understand is what guys understand, that politics is just the business of relationships. I mean, that's, you know, when you think about what happens on Capitol Hill or in your local politics, politics is the business of relationships. And that if you're not in there identifying the relationships you need to be successful, providing people in that network with things they need and asking them for things that you need, you're not going to get ahead. If you avoid office politics, you are really missing out on an opportunity to help grow your career.
And actually, I think that it speaks directly to one of my favorite items from the 7 Habits, Stephen Covey, yeah, where he says, you know, make investments in the emotional bank account.
Yes,
because,
yes, yes.
And then you've made some deposits and you can take some back out, which is what you mention in your coaching tip when you go, remember, the quid pro quo of politics is something in exchange for something. But you can't get something in exchange for something if you haven't made a deposit, you haven't built a relationship, you haven't helped this person out. And so then it's not really politics.
Exactly. Now, my experience is that women actually have a little bit of the opposite problem, that they actually do help each other out, and they help, you know, men out. You know, women are in the business of being helpful. And they collect those chips. They collect, you know, they put money into their account all the time. They're not willing to cash it in, though. You know, they're not willing to say, you know what, I did this guy 5 favors last year, and what I need from him is this, and I think I'll go ask. That's cashing in a chip. And women are hesitant to cash in a chip because they don't want to make it seem as if, well, I only did that for you because you were going to do something for me. That's how the world works. There's a quid pro quo, or something in exchange for something else, in every relationship.
Thank you. Thank you. How about mistake number 35, which is limiting your possibilities? I'm working on something right now. The reason why this particular one jumped out at me is because one of the women that I talked to said she's a chief financial officer, and she had never considered being a chief financial officer. But she said she was at a networking event, and every man she talked to assumed that she was a CFO. And she goes, you know, I'd never seen myself in that role. And when she went for it, she got it.
Yeah, well, and she's a good example, you know, because I had lunch yesterday actually with somebody else, another CFO, who said I said, how'd you get the job? She said, well, I kind of lucked into it. The CFO left. They made me acting CFO, and after a year, they couldn't find anybody, so they gave me the job. I said, did you ask for the job? She said, no. You know, I figured if I did a good job, they'd give it to me. Well, you know, there's
that
an example of what, right? You know, limiting possibilities. You know, obviously they did think she was CFO material, so why didn't you ask for it? Well, that's part of what happens with women, is that we limit our possibilities either by not asking for things we want, things we deserve, things we've earned, or we listen to old messages about how much or how little we can really accomplish. I know when I started my business 20 years ago, I've been in business now for 20 years, I left a great job. I was earning a lot of money, and it was a terrific job with a good company. And everyone around me said, what are you doing? You got this great job. I said, yeah, but I have a vision for what I want to do. Well, basically, everybody in my network said, oh, we think this is pretty risky, as opposed to saying, go for it. How can we help you? That's another way that we limit our own possibilities, by listening to those kinds of people.
So, so true. Only you can limit the possibilities, actually, because often people already see it in you. You just don't see it in yourself. That's another thing that women do. How about mistake number 5, which dovetails very nicely onto our last mistake, which is mistake number 45, is failing to define your brand.
Yes. What women need to understand, and I think guys get this a little bit more, is that we are a brand in the workplace. That brand is called you. And like any brand, you have to define it, you have to hone it, you have to market it, you have to do some research on it. I mean, that's what 360-degree feedback is all about, is seeing yourself as others see you, or seeing your brand as others see you, and finding out how you can better meet the needs of your constituents. Well, you know, again, women have this mistaken notion that if I just go to work and I work really hard and I keep my nose clean and I make everybody happy, I'm going to be successful. And that's not true, because then you're not working on your brand. You're just going, you know, it's a little bit like going to work and, you know, doing the same thing every day and doing it well and doing it better. Well, that's not who gets ahead. The people who get ahead, who are always taking a look at their brand and making sure it meets the needs of their constituents and changing it as necessary. I had a friend who said to me the other day, she said, I've never met anybody who's reinvented herself as many times as you have. Well, when you have your own business, you understand you're the brand. You know, I understand. I am my brand. Dr. Lois Frankel is a brand. But so is everyone in the workplace. And that's why you've really got to pay attention to it.
Well, I'm going to draw your attention to one of the things that was under failing to define your brand that I found very interesting, where you said you had a woman come in for an interview, asked her, tell me about what you're best known for, and she spent 35 minutes not just kind of skirting around the real question you asked.
Oh, yeah. She wasn't able to define her brand to me. And it was an interesting story, because it was actually a woman who's a consultant. And in my firm, we look for consultants who have areas of expertise. And she should have been able to rattle that off the tip of her tongue, you know, given where she was in her career. I mean, this was not a young woman. This is a woman who was probably in her 50s. And she should have been able to just rattle that right off. Well, I don't care if you're 50 or I don't care if you're 25. If somebody says, what do you do? What are you known for? What are your strengths? You have to have that prepared in advance so that when someone asks you, it rolls right off the tip of your tongue. I tell women you should write it down, you should practice it, and when you're asked, you put it out there clearly. I think too many women are afraid it sounds like bragging. But, you know, in fact, you got to do a little bit of that for people to see you've got some self-esteem.
That's true. That's true. And actually, another thing that I like about your book is how you have those coaching tips at the end of each mistake to show mm-hmm. people how they can now use what you talk about. And one example that you have where you said, you know, you can just come up with, here's what I do. I help people. I listen well. I problem solve. I manage projects, I identify obstacles, and so you just start with putting together a list of those things, and then beautifully your example shows that now you could take those things and string them together in a productive way, such as my ability to listen effectively enables me to gather data from reluctant sources, and tying that in with the skill of writing allows me to report that data in an objective way, and there, it's very simple and straightforward. You took some things you're good at, and then you put them together in a phrase that brands you now as the kind of person who has the ability to get these things done.
Exactly. You know, and I would really encourage listeners to sit down and write, you know, it's what I call also an elevator speech. If you were at the top floor of a 50-story building and somebody said, what do you do? By the time you get to the first floor, what are you going to say that makes them go, wow, give me your card? You know, and that comes with practice and a conscious intent. It doesn't just happen.
The next mistake, number 59, is dear to my heart because I actually have lived this. It's asking permission. I was working as a consultant with this new director that they brought in, and he mm-hmm. and I went off to do some work on something, and the whole time it was all brand new. He never spoke to us all about it, and it was so comprehensive. I kept saying, aren't we going to check on this or that? And he goes, Yvonne, believe me, it's easier to get forgiveness than to get permission.
Mm-hmm.
I never
mm-hmm.
forgot that, and it's so true. And I think and it speaks directly to your mistake 59, women ask permission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think about it, in our society, we expect children to ask permission, not adults. And the man who said that to you is absolutely right. Men ask for forgiveness. They don't ask permission. We live in a very forgiving society. The fact is that, you know what, if I do something and you don't like it and you let me know, rather than apologize or having previously asked permission, the best thing to do is say, oh, you know what, Yvonne, I had no idea that's what you wanted. Why don't you tell me exactly how you want me to do it, and I'm happy to go back and do it that way. Or, you know what, I didn't realize you didn't want me to do that. I won't do it again. Okay, but that's much better and much more adult than first asking permission. And you also have to remember, when you ask permission, you set yourself up to hear no.
That's very true. And then in your coaching tips, you say, you give an example, another wonderful thing, listeners, about this book. So you have an example of, would it be all right with you if I work at home tomorrow? I'm expecting a delivery. And instead, you can make it a statement. I just wanted to let you know I'll be working at home tomorrow. I've got a delivery coming. So you're still doing the same thing, except you're more assertive about it. An adult about it.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole thing is this, that if somebody doesn't want you to take the day off for whatever reason, they'll tell you. They'll say, you know what, tomorrow I can't let you go because we've got these bigwigs coming in from the head office. Now, first of all, shame on you for not telling me that in advance, but right? But that's not my fault that you didn't tell me that in advance. But you can always say something like, oh, I had no idea that's what was happening. Let me see if I can rearrange this. But again, you're not
asking. Start a negotiation, maybe.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Mistake 88, believing others know more than you. When I talk to women, I often remind them that guys don't know either. They just go off somewhere and later on go figure it out and come back in, and now they know, but they don't let not knowing hold them back. They don't believe others know more than them. They say, you know, I can go figure that out and come back.
Yeah, and that's the main thing. It's about they have the confidence to know they can figure something out. You know, with women, I've seen this happen over and over where they're offered a promotional opportunity and they say, well, you know, I don't think I can do that job. I've never done that. Well, you know, the guy gets offered the job and he says, you know, I've never done that, but you must have a lot of confidence in me and I know I can learn it, so thanks a lot for the promotion. You know, a woman feels as if, unless she is absolutely on top of things, unless she knows the subject 100%, that she doesn't deserve or she hasn't earned or she doesn't belong in that position. And that's just not true. And something else, Yvonne, you know, in the book that I wrote after this, Nice Girls Don't Get Rich, I talk about this same phenomenon of thinking that people know more about money than you do. See, there's one thing to think, you know, well, people know a lot more than I do. But a lot of times women don't acquire the wealth they should because they think someone else could manage their money better than they can. And that's why women are so frequently taken advantage of by unscrupulous people.
Absolutely. How about playing the game safely and within bounds?
Yeah, now that's an interesting phenomenon. You know, it's that the workplace, that women don't always get this either, that the workplace is a game, okay? And like any game, it has boundaries, it has strategies, it has rules. And your job is to figure out where are the boundaries of that playing field. Now, games are won at the edge. I like to play tennis, and I know if I can hit that ball on my opponent's far backhand corner, right on the line, she's not going to be able to get that back to me. It's the same thing in the game of work. If I only hit the ball in the middle of the field, or if I only play the game in the middle of the court, I'm not going to win many games. Games are won at the edge. Women play it way too safe because they're afraid of going out of bounds. You've got to take some calculated risks. You've got to be willing to say, hey, look, you know, I'm going to stretch my boundaries. I'm going to make sure that people see me as a risk taker, not because that's we like risk takers. Now, we don't like risk takers who make the same mistake over and over again or who make too many mistakes, but we like risk takers. And I think women need to take more risks and not be afraid they're going to get called out, because more often they won't be.
And if they get called out, you said in your coaching tip here, don't revert to playing safe.
You may say, you can learn from that. You can ask the person, You know, how could I have done that better? How could I have done it differently? I tell women all the time, you look at the women who are most successful in your organization. You watch what they're doing. I guarantee you they're playing their game at the edge. And you can too. You do more of what they're doing. Because the boundaries are different for men and women. You know, women need to learn where their boundaries are. Men have broader boundaries in certain areas, like assertiveness. You know, men can be very assertive, and we accept it. We know what we call women when they're too assertive.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But you shouldn't be afraid of that either, because sometimes, in my opinion, it may be perceived that way, but you can't lay down and be a doormat either. You have to stand up for yourself. And if you stand up for yourself and they call you out of your name, as the youngsters like to put it, then that's fine. At least they know this woman is not going to be a doormat.
Exactly. And you know what? The fact is there are a lot of playing fields. If your company or your boss artificially narrows your playing field, if you know you're doing right and they say, you know what, we don't like when you do that, you vote with your feet. You say, you know what, there's somewhere else I can go where they're going to want this from me. And not internalize it. Too many women internalize it and they go back to the middle of the field and then they wonder why they never really achieve their goals. And that's the whole thing. You know, even the term corner office in the book, the corner office is just a metaphor for achieving your goals.
Thank you. That will help a lot for especially some of the people that when they hear the title, react as my first reaction was. But now I just love it. I think it's a powerful title. Do you have any final comments for our listeners?
You know, my main comment is this, is that no one will ever take as good care of you as you will take care of yourself. And by that I mean, yeah, you need to be concerned about other people. I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but you should be equally concerned with you. And you exhibit that by asking for what you've earned, what you want, what you deserve. You do it by making sure you have money in your own name, by negotiating well for either raises or things that you buy, by investing your money wisely. That's how you take as good care of yourself as you take care of others. And that's what I'd like to see women do more of.
Me too. Thank you, Lois. Thank you for your empowering comments, because that's what they are. And Lois's book is a very empowering book. The finest thing that I can say about this book, besides the quality of the content, is it's more than 100 mistakes that you're solving, but it's put together in such a manner that you can take them one at a time in little bite size, easily digestible chunks, and practice each one with the coaching tips that come with that particular mistake, so that you can change your reaction and you wind up in the corner office. Thank you, Lois.
Thank you, Yvonne. It's been a pleasure.